Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
You may already know that the Football Ramble have teamed up with audible.co.uk to offer you a free audiobook of your choosing when you sign up for a free 1 month trial at audible.co.uk/footballramble. So if you want Why England Lose by Simon Cooper and Stefan Szymanski, I Partridge by Alan Partridge, or The Football Men, Up Close with the Giants of the Modern Game by Simon Cooper, then sign up at audible.co.uk/footballramble or choose from a range of about 60,000 other titles. The 30-day free trial means you can choose a free audiobook, which is yours to keep, whether or not you decide to cancel in the trial period. Go to audible.co.uk/footballramble and sign up now.
Unorthodox. We call our own shots. Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Football Ramble. Good to have you here. My name's Marcus and we're still in Kiev. It's the last show from the wonderful city in Ukraine. And Jim's here.
Hello.
Pete's here.
I'm here, yes.
And Luke Moore completes the trio.
All right.
He is indeed.
Flavour.
Yeah.
Hot stuff.
Many of that. Now, gentlemen, Group A and Group B have been decided, but we're going to start with Group A, where the hosts have gone out, as well has the Russians. Let's start with Greece versus Russia. Everyone thought that was a foregone conclusion.
Yeah, very much so.
And it proved to be. Greece went...
Yeah, well, they're going to win now. We've seen this happen before. They're going to win the whole thing. Seriously, though, the Russia goal was the worst goal in terms of...
You mean the
concede.
Greek goal?
Yeah. That's what I mean. Yeah, the goal Russia conceded was the most...
Well, from the throw-in and then...
Yeah, bit of defending.
And a terrible timing again as well.
Yeah, just absolutely schoolboy stuff. Just, you can't be... You can't have Greece using a throw-in as a devastating through ball if you want any chance of progressing. I really do think they just assumed they'd win, but Greece have obviously kept that kind of battling mentality that they, you know.
And if there was a team that would use half time to set up shop even more, yeah, it would be Ireland. But if there were two, it would be Greece.
To be fair to the Greeks, they came out second half.
To be fair, the Greeks, they invented rods.
Yeah.
Did they?
The Romans.
Ah, right. They invented the Romans.
And modern democracy.
Well, yeah. But, I mean, Karagounis scored the goal, yes, which did feel a bit of a smash and grab in the first half, because Rush was
very
much...
retro. Karagounis scoring in
Europe. I love Karagounis because he seems to be a man, 35 years old I think he is now. He hasn't been paid since September, apparently, due to like the Greek financial crisis and this sort of stuff. Mm. He seems to me not to be a man of strong moral fibre.
Absolutely.
But 100-odd caps for Greece. Mm. Yeah. I imagine he's a very calming, great influence in that side, especially the young players around him.
Yeah.
And he pops up.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we'll move on to what happened to him in the second half in a brief moment. But the first half, Russia were dominant. It just looked as though, yeah, here we go, Russia will win, and it'll be interesting to see what happens with Poland, Czech Republic, and we probably expected the Poles to go through as well. Russia just bombarding. I think Russia thought, you know, they've lost. They won their opening game 4-1.
Yeah.
Is this perhaps what happened to Ukraine? Their minds were perhaps in the second round already.
Yeah, I think that's probably true. Yeah,
Because they'd drawn with Poland. They would have been up for that, a big derby match.
That's it. They dominate large parts of the game.
They did, but they didn't make it count. I mean, Greece. They didn't bother them that much compared to the possession they had.
And also, but just to put it into perspective a little bit, if it was on goal difference, Russia would be through.
Yeah. Mm.
Russia had the best goal difference by far in the group.
Mm.
It's just a head-to-head thing knocked them out, basically.
Yeah, well, we've often said we prefer goal difference, don't we?
You've got to prefer goal difference, haven't you? I mean, goal difference rewards attacking play. Mm. The head-to-head stuff that they do in La Liga, I'm not a fan of it at all.
No, I'm not. And the playoffs in Serie A, I don't know if they still do that. They certainly used to. But into the second half, though, now you talk about Karagounis. The moment of the second half, I think, for most people, was when he got booked for a dive when he charged into the box. And the Greeks were looking like they might go on for a second, to be fair to them.
Do you think it was a dive?
No, absolutely not. It was a foul and a blatant one. And he was fuming. I mean, I've never seen... He lost his head, quite simply. And a couple of minutes later, they panned back to him and he was just going... Aah! Yeah, he was mad.
It's because he misses the next match, though, isn't it? That's basically why. He's already been booked.
Is that right?
He misses the next match.
But still, though, I think the injustice of it...
It's going to be one of those moments that you see on the highlight reel at the end of the Euros, him just screaming into the
night. Along with Zhagoyev when he scored. Well, he just goes absolutely postal. Actually, just thinking about that Karagoulis thing, he might not be booked. It might be set off the group stage. So anyway,
it was the injustice because they knew they needed to win. And you're denied what is a clear penalty. Yeah. A clear penalty. And someone pulls you out for diving. It would frustrate you so much.
Insult to injury.
Exactly. He was taken off, which I think was a good move from the Greek coach because he probably was going to get himself sent off or something, you know.
Do himself an injury.
Yeah, but he was the hero. And I think he was given Man of the Match award. And it is great for Greece. The country
really
has had such a bad time of late.
Yeah, but they play Germany in the next game.
Yeah. So do they have to lay down for that one?
Exactly, yeah. Germany probably technically own Greece.
There are footballs.
So give us this match, we'll write off some of your debt.
Yeah,
maybe. obviously it's disappointing for Russia, very much so, and it was Dick Advocaat's last game in charge. Didn't really go to plan. He didn't seem to care.
He doesn't, does he?
Well, he said...
He's just a man who does not enjoy life.
He said, did we not play that well? I'm sorry. We should have won, but we didn't. I suppose in some way I'll be blamed for that, but I'm not too interested in what people say about me. That's what you want to hear as a Russian fan, isn't it?
He's off to his new job. He's already packed up and...
His mind's already in the next job, as opposed to the next round. So desperately disappointed for the Russians, who look so good in their opening game.
Yeah, and I think it's just all the countries that use the Cyrillic alphabet, which I'm obsessed with at the moment.
Right,
So they were clearly preoccupied about how difficult their letters are to understand.
Yeah.
So that's what made them lose, I think.
And the St. George spirit got Greece through, because he's their patron saint as well.
It was an English performance.
And again, they owe us, really, for that, don't they? They owe us for probably other things as well.
The world owes us.
It's interesting to see how Salpingida started, didn't it? He was so influential in the first game. Yeah. So that might have made a bit of a difference. But I'd like to see Fatsidis play more because he's this young, sort of talented. They call him the Greek Messi, but I think that's more to do with the fact that he had these hormone injections like Messi did. But he's a very exciting young player. I'd like to see him be, especially when Greece could do it a bit of an outlet. You know, I know Fernando Santos is a bit more attacking than Reaga was, but he could still do it a bit more of a sort of attacking outlet.
The set up the same, go for the throw ins. City would.
Devastating.
I like Greece's number five. His name's Papadopoulos.
Yeah.
He looks quite young, but he looks like.
Tough paper.
Like a sort of, like a real sort of farmhand. Like he's from the sticks, you know, he's an absolute bruiser. He's still clearly young, but he is going to be an absolute monster when he gets older.
It is absolutely remarkable that Greece have gone through. Bearing in mind the first 45 minutes against Poland, down to 10 men and 1-0 down.
Yeah.
And they've still got Russia to play. They've gone through. I mean, honestly, that is right up there with some of the greatest sort of upsets of the championships.
They're doing it again.
Yeah,
it's on. This time Germany in the way.
I was annoyed when they won it last time. I mean, let's hypothetically think about if they did it again, what it would actually be like. Because I would love it this time. The fact they've managed to do it twice, even if they did it in that horrible negative way.
And also, their country's going through a lot of strife, so it'd be a great sort of welcome relief for their citizens and stuff. It'd be amazing.
England, Greece are final, yeah.
Definitely, St. George is the winner. Yeah. Poland have gone out though. They lost 1-0 to the Czech Republic again.
Bloody alphabet.
Another remarkable one. The Czechs losing their opening game 4-1.
Yeah. The Czechs went through a negative goal difference.
And they've gone through as top of the group.
Because the Czechs just looked ropey and just passed it in their opening game. And
Czech looked awful and ropey and passed it.
Yeah. And they weren't even particularly impressive against Greece. You know, they really sort of, you know... sauntered to that victory, but you know they've done it when it mattered. Juricek's been excellent for them.
Yeah,
it was a really good goal. If the Euros are sort of Euros passed or anything to go by, he'll now sign for Liverpool and just not be that good.
That's the way it goes.
But I really felt for the Polish. I mean, it meant so much to their fans.
Well.
They were devastated after the game. It's interesting the politics around the Polish team because Mikhail Zahodny writes for us, right about Smuda, the coach, saying that, you know. There's a lot of question marks about whether he's really in charge and whether he's got the... Because he leaves the post now, I think.
Yeah.
But whether he's got the authority to sort of make them do what he wants and whether people like Kuba and Lewandowski are huge personalities are stopping him doing implementing what he wants to do. And if that is the case, it could have undermined them, I think.
And they're out.
Yeah, I thought that. I felt for Morawski to get the ball away and for the goal. That was a shame. It was a nice breakaway goal, though, wasn't it?
And it was. It was very quick feet from Juracek.
Well, I didn't. We watched the goals, the highlights earlier today, and we saw that the BBC commentary, it was the BBC punditry, and there was a bit where Barros broke his neck to get into the penalty area and the ball came over the top.
He tried to control it.
Yeah, basically.
And I think which he famously can't do.
Yeah. But I mean, he still thinks he can do it, bless him. And he had a go.
Let him have a go. He's got a really good international scoring record, by the
way. Was he not top scorer in 2004?
He was. Joint, I think.
And Real Madrid were apparently interested in him after that, because that was when they were as ridiculous as they've ever been.
Anyway, Luke.
But yeah, so Barros was in and obviously he fluffed his lines a little bit. But as you said, Mark, he tried to control it. And Alan Shearer just went, yeah, well, I just don't think he wanted it. I don't think he wanted the ball.
He
did want the ball.
He was really, really hoping for an opposition goal kick there.
Yeah, yeah.
And he has delivered.
He's legged it through, he's bombed on, broken the offside trap, busted his backside to get into the penalty area in a really tough game they need to win, and thought, you know what? I don't know if I fancy
I've overshot this. Yeah. I'm out of energy.
Yeah, and he turned around
he
went,
it. He doesn't need it.
He turned around and went, don't worry, lads, still 0-0. Manager's fist pumping.
Absolutely ridiculous. But the Czechs go on to play Portugal.
Portugal.
Yes. That is Greece against Germany, Czech Republic against Portugal. That's very few people would have predicted that.
Well, this is it. We said, didn't we, when we were back in Bonnie, England, that the suspected winners of the groups, you know, we started off with Russia and Poland.
I think most people did.
Straight away we said, but it never turns out like that.
No.
Group A certainly hasn't, and Group B hasn't either, because the Dutch have lost all three of their games. I did quite like it. Ahead of the last two games in Group B, obviously very exciting because all four teams, like Group A actually, could have gone through. And Diego Maradona, I think, summed it up, as we quoted in the Times of India, saying, it's desperation time in Group B. I think it was more towards the Dutch there. But Portugal beat Holland 2-1. Holland started with a more attacking lineup without Van Bommel. Van der Vaart was in there. Persie was in there with Huntelaar.
Which I think we were all calling for, really.
We were indeed. And for the first 15 minutes, it was going well. They were attacking. Van der Vaart scored a great opener. And then after that, Portugal really took charge. Ronaldo finally woke up, didn't he?
Mm. Yeah. Oh, God.
You could sort of... I mean, I mentioned that in a piece I wrote the other day. You knew he was going to do that after the game against Denmark. You would never fancy him to be that bad two games in a row.
Crunch time for Ronaldo. He'll be very, very aware of that. You know, he's a man who's aware of his own legacy and wants to cultivate his own legend. And he'll know that, you know, he's never going to be this age at a European tournament again.
Peter to change his hairstyle at half-time.
We had a lot of tweets about that in the other game. A lot of
strange. The second Portugal was like it was a proper Real Madrid sort of breakaway kind of goal, wasn't it? There's been a kind of decent amount of counter-attacking goals, which has been really exciting.
They could really have had a third as well. They had an opportunity late.
Well,
on
a few posts were hit and stuff like that as well.
Very well.
Yeah, I mean, it was, you know, it was. I think Ronaldo. It's almost like he needed the last game.
Yeah,
where everyone suddenly went, are you going to do this or not?
Yeah, and even because he would have been furious with himself.
Well, exactly. The first game, you know, against Germany, very difficult. He did okay, but to pick that up.
It's all right.
But he's played well for Portugal. He's done all right and stuff, but he can always blame other people. Against Denmark, he was the one who was saved by his teammate.
Yes.
And I think he needed that moment.
Probably good for him, actually, yeah.
Exactly. And he's got a brace. They're through and they're looking in good shape. And you'd fancy them to beat the Czechs.
Yeah.
I think it's funny, isn't it? Because we saw Portugal in the first game and thought, oh, I don't know.
No, I was impressed with them.
I know you were. But
I've been very impressed with Portugal.
But well, I mean, Jim and I and Peter had a few sort of question marks over him. And now it looks like they've got a really good chance to be in the semi.
Really clicked in.
I think the first match, I think we said at the time, Ronaldo looked really sort of isolated. Nobody was giving him the ball. He's just kind of just up there by himself. He doesn't like to play as that sort of out and out striker, but it's just situation dictates that he's kind of the focal point for everything.
But the thing is that maybe he's beginning to trust his teammates more, because he probably looks and thinks, how de Postiga?
Yeah.
You know, where's Higuain or Benzema or these types of players? Oh, I'll do it myself. And after that last game, maybe the manager said to him, look mate, they rescued you there.
Show him some respect.
I think on the Holland side of things, I would have preferred to see Strootman start in the middle instead of Van der Vaart, as I said before, but it certainly seemed to give him a little bit more of a link up between sort of defence, midfield and attack. But again, with Holland, the egos thing comes out, and I think it's true because it manifests itself in just the amount of shocking decision making by each player, especially Robin. Robin's decision making for these three games has been dreadful.
Well, Robin certainly looks like one who doesn't want to pass.
It's
almost not out of greed, it's just out of, he just doesn't want his opponent, the players on his team, to have the ball either.
Yeah.
It's really bizarre, sort of head down, sod it play for myself kind of thing.
Again, you think of the supporters. I mean, England, you look back over the years, you know, we've had some all right squads and failed to kind of gel on one thing or another. I'm not saying we're going to win, we would have should have won anything, but we should have done a bit better perhaps.
Yeah.
And I know that the Dutch got to the World Cup final last time round, but as a fan, you look at that team, you know, they were the second favourites behind Germany and Spain, losing all three games.
Yeah, well, they started very brightly, didn't they?
Against
they
good sides, well, admittedly.
And they were the team, you know, everyone was hoping they would be for the first sort of, say, 20 minutes or so, but they just lurched back into their bad habits that they've had in the past two games and just poor.
Yeah, yeah.
England have done so much better than Holland, even if they get tonked by Ukraine, which is just... What the hell?
I think, but even the changing of personnel for this game, Holland didn't need to win it and win it by a couple of goals or whatever. Mm. And so they made these changes that, were, in a way, a lot of people have been calling for. I mean, starting with Huntelaar and changing out Van Bommel because it was a bit overly negative, and it still didn't work because the attitude of the players isn't correct.
Yeah, but even aside from that, you know, they've been criticised for being a team of individuals, which is fair enough. I think none of them have delivered. Not one of them. Mm. You know, Van Persie's missed a hell of a. Yeah, he really has. Huntelaar's just not been in the games. You know, Robin's been very selfish. You know, Schneider's been ineffective. Just
I thought Schneider's done okay. In a decent first game.
Incidentally, what does this mean for Van Persie at his domestic club?
I don't think it means anything.
No.
No, I don't think that, you know, that's going to have any effect. Arsenal are still going to badly want to keep him. Loads of other teams are still badly going to want to sign him, you know.
Are international sides getting harder to play for?
It certainly seems like it, doesn't it? I thought it was good with the Dutch Portuguese game because... It made for a really open game. The first half was very open.
Oh yeah, the first half was great.
And that Nani chance, Stekelenburg made an amazing save from Nani sort of towards the end.
It's just like I would have lifted that into the roof.
You'd have finished it, no problem.
Oh yeah,
no,
but you'd have had the game wrapped up by then, wouldn't you?
I would have done some Ryan the Rover style stuff like Ronaldo.
I think actually, speaking of Ronaldo, I actually think that Bentner's just spurred him on.
Yeah,
there's a genuine threat here to Europe's best player. Or one, I think I can see it.
Ronaldo thought, I'm going to have to at least score the same amount of goals. Before we go off Portugal, we've got a tweet from at ourholes84 who says Bruno Alves equals a Portuguese Jaws #BondVillain.
Yeah, it's a good shout. Good. We were talking about this on the last show about how they're a boy band. Bruno Alves would have to be the
Jay from Five.
Yeah, he'd have to be the songwriter because he wouldn't get in the side otherwise. They're a very metrosexual team apart from Alves, which is frankly just a terrifying man. But I think you'd see
Pepe is as well.
Yeah, he is. Yeah,
actually, they sort of panned them out so they're not metrosexual because of those two.
Those two look like they live in a cave.
Those two.
But I think
Pepe's Brazilian as well, really, isn't
he? If they were a boy band, I think on their second tour of their second album, Bruno Alves would bring the guitar out, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
White shirt undone to sort of the belly button.
Now you're talking.
Beads and stuff. Yeah. And the guitar, you know.
Yeah, and if it was electric, double electric guitar.
Yeah,
maybe.
And he'd be the thinking girl sort of like crush who loved the boy bands because he'd be a bit more rugged. And,
tough man. You imagine if he gets run over, the car will come out very badly.
Oh, yeah, big time,
big time. The other game in Group B... was Denmark versus Germany. The Germans won 2-1. The Danes go home. It's a shame for the Danes.
They've been good, haven't they? But they were just—they were in a group of death,
and they got killed.
They don't actually die, do they?
I don't know.
You have been terminated.
Yeah, remember that.
Podolski, Arsenal-bound Podolski.
Yeah,
he got the opening goal.
He had a bright game, actually. I thought.
Yeah, it was nice to see him finish very well on his weak foot as well. On his weak foot.
Take a moment, Jim. Probably save his goals. His goal in your favourites because in about December time when he's not scored a single goal for Arsenal, you can go. Yeah. He is good.
Yeah. I know he's good. He hit an absolute pile driver of a free kick as well, didn't he? One of those ones that's still too fast to see. Even on the slow motion replay,
he basically hit it far too hard for how far out it was.
Yeah, someone in the crowd's in hospital now because of that.
Yeah.
Crondelli equalised. He's had a lovely time.
Yeah, he really has, hasn't he?
And that was another header
from a headed assist.
Yeah,
head squared. Yeah, header squared.
The Danes should really try and utilise that more.
Yeah. I actually think Denmark have exploited their set pieces pretty well.
Yeah,
they've done pretty well on that front.
Apparently, that's frowned upon though in world football.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. What I was trying to say, Mark, is that they've done all right. They've weighed in with their fair share of English goals. And we thank them for it.
Oh, and Lars Bender got the winner for Germany.
Hey.
Lols. Even Germany without a full strength side. Comfortable with the
but the problem with Denmark is just that I mean I know a lot's been
Germany.
Yeah, well, a lot's been made of how big a giant killing it was when they beat Holland, which is obviously rubbish, but they are not as strong as the other three teams.
No.
Especially
no.
at the back. and they were exploited by a decent Germany team, I think.
Yeah, yeah. In the Germany camp, Mario Gomez is upset as he's come in for a lot of criticism and feels it's unfair.
Is this back in Germany? Or
in Germany? Well, he said, I know from my Real Madrid teammates, that Ozil and Khedira, and my family in Andalusia, that people look up to me in Spain. The recognition and appreciation is higher abroad than back home.
Mm. Wasn't the fact going into the game against Denmark that he'd had the ball for 22 seconds in total and scored three goals? It's so efficient.
It's not bad, is it?
So efficient.
You know what I mean? Well, Mohamed Scholl, former German player, of course, was also critical of Gomez's work rate and team ethic against Holland, but Big Mario wasn't happy with that, and he said, I don't mind being tickled, but what he said about me, there is no way anything funny there.
Well, it's German, isn't it?
But that's
the right. I don't want to be tickled.
You know, Mehmet Scholl is massive into like his indie like rock music and
is
stuff.
That right?
Quite, I used to really like him back in the day because of that, but he has proved himself since to be a bit of a bell end. So
he's a good player.
Oh, very good.
Is he a hipster?
No, I think he's more of a sort of like a Rammstein style like metal
right,
rock fan.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's definitely not a hipster. He's no Pat Nevin. But don't you think Sammy Khedira looks like he could be a Nickelback?
Yes.
Yeah.
Blatantly. Uh-huh. Terrible goatee beard.
Mm. There we are. Well, the Germans go through with the Portuguese. But what's going to happen in Group C, Jim? Italy versus Ireland?
Italy and England win.
Yes. By how many?
Roy Keane will be happy. Either way. At least we can all be rest assured that Roy Keane will go home happy.
I think that will be a 2-0.
Do you think Keane wanted Ireland to do well? Because let's be honest, if they had done it, he would have been...
I get the feeling that Roy Keane would have been happier at Derby rather than Manchester United.
I don't think Roy Keane and the concept of wanting things coexist. Yeah. I think for Roy Keane, there are just things that happen.
If you want it, you go and just go and take it.
Yeah.
And that's that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we were maybe a bit harsh on him last time when we were saying he's turned into a bit of a renter quote. I think that there is a... It seems to be... And obviously, I'm not Irish, so I'm not speaking any sort of authority, as usual, though. But I think that he is very distrusting and annoyed by the sort of...
administrative side of it.
But what I was going to say was that the fact that Irish fans and footballers, he thinks, seem to be okay with failure. They seem to think, well, we've got to be qualified.
Well, that's
so
what
that's
he was about last time.
Yeah, and so with people like Keane, and he actually made a valid point in the papers yesterday. He said, you know, we're told over and over again that players like Robbie Keane and Damien Duff and John O'Shea, they're all good players. But how good are they? I mean, what are they winning? What are they doing? And I think it's a valid point. And Roy Keane's a player who's risen to the very pinnacle of the game.
Yeah,
and he's within his rights to say that. At least it's an opinion.
He didn't play football for the enjoyment. He played football for the winning of it.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. Roy Keane's a winner. It doesn't matter what he would do.
Absolutely.
He doesn't want to be seen to be a jolly minnow. He wants to be a winner.
And it's fair enough.
I mean,
this was the attitude he had when he was playing for the national team, wasn't it?
Yeah.
He would have the same frustrations. And I think part of that same issue was to do with his falling out with Mick McCarthy, wasn't it, as well?
Mm.
He's really... I agree with him. You know, you shouldn't be there just sort of, we're happy to take part, really. It's all been a big jolly, a nice little sort of football holiday. That's fine for us.
Yeah.
But not for one of the teams in the tournament.
Yeah. Well, as he said back then, stick it up your bollocks.
Indeed.
Yeah. But there's all you've got to do is type in Robbie Keane, Damien Duff and Google Images. There's loads of pictures of him out on the piss and stuff. And you can tell, obviously, Roy Keane's not going to dig that, is he? He's not that sort of person.
No.
So he's not going to like. But at the same time, he was already nicked up in 2002 and went home. You know, when he could have stuck around. But I know that this is a bit of a different argument, but you understand what I mean.
10 years ago.
In summary, Ireland will be beaten by Italy.
Spain versus Croatia.
But,
a 2-2 draw.
But before you go on to
that, yeah.
Would you not like to see Trapattoni maybe play a few of the younger players?
Absolutely. I think it's an excuse to try and bed in the next generation.
Give them some experience. Yeah.
Shane Long up front, James McLean on the wing.
A 2-2 draw would do it for Spain and Croatia, and Italy would go home like in 2004. I
can't see Croatia getting two against Spain.
Yeah, neither can I. Spain for the win, would we think?
Yeah, well, Croatia have been decent.
Mm.
Yeah, they have been decent enough. I could potentially see Croatia cause them a few problems. I don't think they'll beat them, but I can certainly see them having a say in the game. It's not going to be all one-way traffic.
It depends on what hat he's wearing, really, isn't it?
Yeah, that, absolutely right.
But we are once again going for the popular choices, and as both groups have already shown, you know, it hasn't gone the way you would expect. So, you know, Italy have struggled against Ireland in the past, as we've said before. You know, is there a chance of an upset somewhere, do you think?
Maybe Croatia beating Spain.
There'll be no pressure on Ireland, will there? So, I mean,
yeah, exactly. And they will be wary of Roy Keane's comments. They will want to go out with a bang, you know, give the travelling support who have been so good something to really sort of smile about and take home.
But I mean, being wary of Roy Keane's comments, it's like a misfiring air conditioning unit in the corner of the room, isn't it? It's always gonna, the hum's always going to be there.
Yeah.
Indeed. And Croatia, bad things have been going on with some of their fans. They've been officially charged by UEFA, the Croatian FA, of course, for improper conduct of their fans, which included racist chanting and racist symbols directed at Mario Balotelli during their 1-1 draw with Italy. I did like what Bilic said. Again, more praise for the big man. He said it is a big problem all around Europe, obviously with regards to racism, and all around the world. And on behalf of the whole Croatian nation, I'm really disappointed as a Croatian, as a parent, as a sportsman, and a person who comes from a modern, open-minded and tolerant state. Everyone is welcome in our country. I don't like these kind of supporters, and nor do my players.
Brilliant. That is absolutely brilliant.
Should be applauded. And it's also good that UEFA seem to be acting quite quickly as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Comprehensive.
I would have quite liked a PS. And there's plenty of things to pick on Mario Balotelli about, apart from his race. Yeah. Yeah. Let's make that very clear.
Yeah, that might not help, but... but yeah. Were they not, well done, Bilic again. I want to see Bilic progress to the next round. You know?
Was it not something to do with the Croatian fans setting off a firework in their end as well, which when they scored?
It's just,
is that right?
Yeah. How does that help the team at all? It just hinders them.
Idiots, isn't it?
Yeah.
Sorry, in their end or in one of their ends?
I mean, yeah.
That would have been spectacular.
It's about your last couple of days, Peter. You're right. is that why your voice is so croaky? You put an actual firework in your mouth.
It wasn't my firework.
And it wasn't by choice.
Yeah.
Well, in Group D, England are trying to be charged by UEFA for an apparent pitch invasion against Sweden.
I didn't see that.
We were there.
Yeah, nobody
didn't
saw
happen.
That. What happened was when England scored the third, there was obviously a jubilation in the England end. Now, I know for a fact that... it was possible to get in the England end without a ticket for that section.
Because we did it after
we did it after the game when it was finished and it was just a big party going on. But a couple of people I know did that. Because the ticket... allocation was a bit strange. As, of course, we were in with the Swedes and
we
whatnot.
Could have probably done that.
Oh, you could have done. And so what I'm saying is there was more people than what there should have been in that end. So when they scored, everyone jumps around. And there was a slight overspill down the front.
There was absolutely... I was sitting over the other side of the pitch. And there's a loads of stewards, like twice the amount of stewards in those small amount of England fans, and they were for the whole of the Sweden fans.
Which apparently annoyed a few of the England fans. Like, oh, come on, we're not doing any...
And there was a man standing on the front sort of wall separating the dugout to the actual supporters, and he was just standing there, one of the Sweden supporters. And I was thinking, why isn't anybody telling him to get down? He's just standing up.
Right, isn't it? So, but the FA are trying to fight them.
So they should. I think that's...
we'll see what happens, I suppose.
Yeah. More slightly worrying news about the England camp. Apparently, according to reports, a Swedish journalist was able to spy on England's team talk and passed on the tactical details to the Swedish FA. This is not just before kickoff, because that would be utterly pointless.
Yeah.
This was the days leading up to the match. And this is apparently... Because,
didn't work, did it, eh? Didn't work?
No. Nearly did, though.
I like to think that Roy Hodgson basically drilled his players... and did a whole theatrical acted team talk, knowing that guy was there.
Yeah.
So, right, we're playing Harty up front. And the guy's writing it down.
No keeper.
It wasn't a case of that. It was a case of the guy was in the fourth floor in the hotel, and this meeting room is in the third floor, and someone didn't draw a blind over one of the windows. And so he looked in with his colleague, and he was like, they're having their team talk. I love this. And he said, I grabbed my binoculars. Why did he have them?
Yeah.
And along with my colleague, we were able to watch for about 40 minutes and take notes on what England were going to do. And he passed it to the Swedish FA. But they knew Oxlade-Chamberlain wouldn't start, and Andy Carroll would.
Okay.
So they knew that.
Is there any sort of rule governing that? I'm sure it must be.
Yeah, that is.
I don't know.
It's pretty close low, close your blinds. It's the close your blinds rule.
So what you're trying to say to me is... what you're trying to say to me is that they did that, but they still didn't win.
Well, do you know what? Kiev's been taken over by Swedish fans.
Yeah.
And it's been great, because they've been gracious in defeat. They're a wonderful set of supporters. They really are. Very handsome men and women. And we knew that. And but they're adamant that they should have beaten England.
Yeah, quite vocal.
Everyone we've met has been...
They say say, good game. We should have won.
Well, we touched on that. We touched on the fact that last year, but I mean, the people we've spoken to since have also sort of echoed that.
Yeah,
really.
I mean,
because we sort of reply because we're very British. Like, oh well, maybe, and then like you walk away from them and you think, no, wait a minute, we scored more than you did.
Yeah. Where's that bloke with Falklands 82 on the back of his shirt? What do you think about that?
Oh, he's been deported.
There was a really angry old England fan the way into the stadium, wasn't
it? Oh, it was amazing.
Well, these Swedish fans, in all face painted, usual stuff. I think a couple of them might have been dressed as women, which is hilarious. It's hilarious to Ukrainians. Yeah, they seem to find it really funny when they see men dressed as women. But
not the most liberal.
I had to tell them I wasn't actually a woman. The couple of the Swedish fans saw this guy in an English shirt who was this really horrible, like 50-year-old idiot.
Unmarried.
Yeah, clearly. I don't know what he was playing at. Anyway, he was really aggressive. And this couple of Swedish fans just shouted, in obviously quite broad Swedish accents, "Who are you? Who are you?" And he just turned around and went, "Who the fuck are you?" "We're England!"
Was really affronted by it. Yeah. Didn't understand Bants.
No.
Poor Bants.
Bants had passed him by.
It wasn't. It absolutely wasn't. Lovely banter.
But what it has been great in and around Kiev, because the rapport between the English and the Swedes has been brilliant. It really has been.
We've been drinking with a lot of them.
Yeah. We've been drinking with...
I think you might have drank with every single one of them.
Stop making out that I'm a big drunk. You drank just as much as I did.
Do you want another one?
I met a Swedish man who had a Sheffield Wednesday tattoo. Yeah. And stuff. I said, "Oh, Roland Nilsson. Yeah. He dropped to his knees and went, "Roland Nilsson."
Did he?
I said, "I'm not him."
I'm just another handsome man.
well done, the Swedish.
They've been a credit.
Zlatan's talking about, aren't they? Do you know what Zlatan said?
This is beautiful.
Some journalist asked him yesterday, "Who do you think's going to win now?" And he said, I might be getting this slightly wrong, "I don't give a shit, I'm going on holiday."
Brilliant. Yeah. Zlatan should media train people in future. Make the game more interesting.
I'd love it if they said before the Swedish coach sort of said before the game, give his team talk in the change room. He went, "Right, Zlatan, you know, captain and that. You got anything to say?" "Well, I'm off on holiday tomorrow if we go out, so you'll do what you want."
Yeah. It's a win-win for me. Yeah. Oh, yeah, good old Zlats.
I just imagine him being on the plane to his holiday destination. "Would you like a gin and tonic, sir?" "I don't give a shit because I'm on holiday."
Yeah. And yes.
Yeah. who do we fancy for the group D? Are we fancy England to be...
Rooney's back?
Yeah.
Rooney's back.
I'm worried. Massive slip up.
I'm really worried. Mm.
Slip up, just, you know.
Because Ukraine need it, don't they? It's the kind of worst case scenario in terms of where Ukraine are. Because they're going to have to fight tooth and nail. And, you know, they were decent in the first match. The France game was so disrupted as well. It's a bit of a strain.
But Ukraine need to win, so I'll just set up reactively again.
Mm. Absolutely.
And just hit on the break. I had a great chat with a Ukrainian fan in the bar last night. Mm. I'm saying.
And by the way, there's been some great Ukrainians.
Oh, brilliant. Yeah, yeah. This guy's from Kiev.
We've not met a racist yet.
Supports Dynamo Kiev. And the bar was quite loud, and there was a bit of a language barrier, so I couldn't hear him that well. And
he's probably slagging you off.
He basically started talking for ages about how he loved English football and all this sort of stuff. And he started talking about a Dynamo Kiev legend. And so I automatically assumed he was talking about Shevchenko. Yeah. And he started saying, "Oh, yeah, and he was really good in England." Yeah, for ages. And I was thinking, "Are you sure, Pop?" I thought, I didn't want to sort of besmirch his character.
Yeah.
I thought
he wasn't Red Rob, was
he? Such a hero.
Do you think the state media have been like selling his performances? Yeah, no, yeah, right. He scored five goals in a match. Has he?
Does Chelsea play in a Milan? Yeah.
Anyway, at the very end, though, I actually realised he was talking about Oleg Lushny.
Yeah, okay.
The tractor.
Who he absolutely loved as well.
Let him love him.
Yeah.
Indeed. What about France-Sweden?
I'm hoping that, as we said before, Sweden will do us a favour there, get a point. Mm. But the French look very strong, don't they? I think
they do.
You know,
I think France will beat Sweden, actually.
Yeah, I do. Which would be very fervently demoralising for Sweden. But France look really, really into it. Sweden look a bit sloppy. You know, France are really hitting the right form.
I was going to ask you, boys, actually. I haven't had a chance to ask you. What do you think about Ashley Young so far?
He's been slightly quiet and disappointing, hasn't he?
I know we touched about it on the last show a little bit, but you'd play him against Ukraine, would you?
We need him to turn up is the problem. You know, I think obviously he has to be on the pitch to have the chance to do that, but he's not been as creative.
Walcott being out with his hamstring, so
is that right?
I thought it was his calf. He did be holding his calf on it when we saw it. I've not read anything about it.
He did say hamstring.
Okay. Well, I think that would be the bigger question. Would you play Milner again or go with Walcott if fit?
It's whether you want the draw or not. That's the thing.
I'd set up against France and hit him on the break and use.
Well, with Oxlade-Chamberlain.
Yeah, probably would. Yeah,
is that instead of Young and Rooney in behind Welbeck?
Cole's a lot stronger. And
I probably would.
Do you drop Young
and Carroll? Yeah.
Yeah, I think
Carroll will go. It'll be
I thought Carroll had really a great game against.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, but he was there. This is the thing. Different tactics for different games.
and each piece in that particular chess game has to understand that you're part of a plan that may not happen every
squad,
single
yeah,
match. You won't play every match because, to be quite frank, you're not. I don't know, Gary Lineker or Alan Shearer. You're Andy Carroll.
it is my sort of limited imagination of England. When I saw Carroll was starting up front, I was like, so what's plan B?
We started it,
but of course it was Walcott.
No, I quite like the idea of England setting up as an against France, and then maybe, if it's not going great, half hour to go, switch it up, put Carroll on, play like it against Sweden.
Get the big man on.
Their performance against Sweden would have been a lot better. They didn't just make basic errors. It wasn't the fault of the system.
No,
it was individual sort of errors, really, and decision-making. First
goal was silly, second was just sloppy defending for them.
Yeah, so it was, yeah.
And they did give the ball away a lot. But when England did go 3-2 up, they looked comfortable.
Yeah.
Well, there were still a few sloppy errors, but they kind of shored it up a bit more at the back, and they thought, right, let's just calm down now.
The danger,
and that was good.
The danger is because it's such a positive result and you get such a euphoric thing, you know, that they forget those mistakes and they forget that it has to be ironed out, and that confidence almost replaces the focus on what needs to be done to get the result, you know. So I hope England are set up, as you say, in a reactive way and know the sort of, really know how much they have to put into this. They'll have to put more into this than the Sweden game just because the stakes are so much higher.
I think the good thing is as well, if England were to get carried away, Hodgson wouldn't let that happen. Gary Neville certainly wouldn't let that happen.
No.
And I don't think Rooney would, because Rooney's like, right, I'm going to join the party here, you know, and get stuck in. So Rooney will be well fired up. Hopefully he won't get sent off.
No, so,
you know, as
I think, as I said on the last show, it's Hodgson's big challenge is to keep Rooney in check.
Mm-hmm.
And we keep seeing Rooney and think, I don't know about you guys, but I see him occasionally, he's really matured as a player, you know. I mean, he went for that massive run in the Premier League last season, not being booked, didn't he?
Yeah.
But then every so often it'll be
Montenegro.
It'll be punctuated by things like Montenegro, and he lets himself down. So
lads on tour.
But he seems far more aware of that. He said in his press conference that, you know, he made a mistake and he's now, you know, bearing the punishment for that. So it's in his mind. So
maybe
he'll be able to keep his head.
Maybe this is what he needs. I mean, he's been watching the last two games from the sidelines, which must have been agony.
Hmm.
And bearing in mind, he's one of our
pulling his
players.
New hair out.
So there we are. There we are, ladies and gentlemen. Let's have one more tweet before we leave you.
If you'd like to get involved, by the way, it is at Football Ramble.
This is from at @Slate_Dog, and he says, which would you rather be attacked by, 10 duck-sized horses or 1 horse-sized duck? # real life quandary.
Is that real life? It's not a real life quandary. Let me put your mind at rest, Mr. Dog. That is not a real life quandary.
Yeah. We'll never let Marcus pick tweets again.
So are we a group?
That's the quality of the tweets.
He's picked the best one. I said we'll pick the best ones.
Look, it's a good tweet. Let's get round to answering the question.
Thank you, Jim.
Right, if we're a group of four, I think we go with the horses. Because, you know, you can just pick them off.
How many was it? Ducks, or duck-sized horses.
A horse-sized duck is 10. Terrifying.
Exactly.
Think how big its mouth would be.
It would be like a dragon.
It's basically a dragon with feathers and no fire.
Yeah.
How loud would the quack be?
Oh, it would be devastating.
Yeah, but
that would be the scariest thing about it.
Yeah, but no pace.
I'd take the horses on all day.
The
duck can fly.
To be honest, the duck will be, like, dying and emaciated because there's not enough bread in Greg's to be able to sate his hunger for bread.
You're from Newcastle and you know that isn't true.
Yeah.
Sorry, Hartlepool.
I think there's other places you can buy bread, Pete.
What, other than Greg's?
Yeah.
Where would you get your yum-yums from? They're a staple part of your breakfast.
If you're a duck.
If you're a duck.
Ducks...
If I hear that sentence one more time, honestly. Not if you're a duck,
so
Peter, not if you're
for
a duck. Piss off, everyone.
I think...
As a collective...
I think the small horses, we could take the small horses as a collective. Yeah. I mean, they'd still be pretty hard. But you just kick it in the face.
Yeah, I'd
belt it in the face,
I'd kick
side
the
of the head.
Shit out of him.
I'd stamp on him.
I'd fancy the big duck.
Stamping on horses, the peak dancer story.
I'd fancy the big duck.
I'm never going to sleep again. Think of that big duck.
Or you could pick up one of the small horses and use it as a club to hit the others with.
Yeah, but he'd bite your fingers off.
No, but you get his back legs.
No, but it would kick you.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you're holding his legs.
Can we have better tweaks next time?
Yeah, maybe.
I'd like two of them around, like two roller skates.
To try and rescue the end of our time in Kiev, let's talk a bit about Kiev. What's a bit of highlights? Apart from the beautiful architecture and the lovely weather and people.
I genuinely think that the football tournament has been amazing.
Yes. Yeah.
The atmosphere inside the stadium versus England-Sweden was incredible. Mm-hmm. Despite England not having as many fans as Sweden by a long way. Mm. I've actually read today there's been a bit of trouble outside between England and Sweden fans after the game. But really? I didn't see anything like that.
No. Yeah, well, now that depends what they mean by trouble, because I was talking to a couple of Ukrainians yesterday and they were saying that, well, there was a bit of trouble between England and Sweden in the fan park last night. And I said, what happened? They said they were chanting at each other, which we saw them do, but it was all in good spirits. And then she said, and a couple of beers were thrown into each end, and then the security just went in between them. I thought,
that's really not much.
If you're going on England, that's just fun.
But it's like what you were saying while we're having lunch. You were sort of saying that
it's not fun, but compared to what it's been, let's just
a lot
clarify.
Of like news agencies in different countries have sort of said, because you said like Sweden used to have a little bit of a hooligan problem, but they just sort of kept on not mentioning the fact that the Swedes had done some terrible things, and they just mentioned other countries. And it's like, oh, look at these pigs.
England.
England. So look at these pigs in England.
Yeah, that's what.
And that's the way to sort of deal with it to a certain extent. So look at those guys over there. You don't want to be like them.
Which
and
is
just
what
don't
Scotland did
on
to
your own.
As well. Yeah. Yeah.
Overall, it's a beautiful city. I've had a really good time here.
I think they've actually done a really good job of hosting it.
Yeah, I do as well.
They've transformed the city into... It feels like a festival of football. And
yeah.
It's just beautiful. There's these lovely outside bars that they've put up, and there's just sort of, red, blue sort of lights everywhere, making everything feel a little bit sort of dreamlike. The fan park's really well done.
The volunteers and the green t-shirts are very good as well, helping you out. Yeah, it's good to see. So they seem to be like students, don't they? Yeah. A lot of them.
24-hour drinking, Pete.
Why are you saying Pete? We were all out together, and I actually wanted to stop drinking at 7 a.m. But Lord Ramble wanted to continue. I wanted apple strudel.
I was in a sushi bar this morning at 7 a.m.
Who was the last person to come in?
Guilty.
There you go.
7 a.m. sushi. I don't even like. I didn't have any.
You got a raw fish hangover today.
I got a raw deal. Yeah. So there we are. But Kiev, come and visit. Yes.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Shit.
I nearly went for that, but I thought no, I'm not going to. So that's it. This is us in Kiev saying goodbye. But we will be back
in a couple of days.
With the rest of the tournament's action. But we will. Will be from our base in London.
Base.
And what a base it is.
Rumble HQ.
There we are.
Underground hideout.
Say goodbye, Jim.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Pete.
Goodbye.
And goodbye, Luke.
Goodbye.
And goodbye from me too, you beauts.
Spasiba.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.